Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Informal Paranormal. My name's John Rossi, and I'm here with Mike Jones.
Hey, everybody. How's it going tonight?
Man, it's doing good on my end, Mike. How about yourself?
Man, I've just had the most wonderful day. How's it been going for you?
Oh, good, good. All right, tonight we have an interesting lineup of things. We're going to do some more remote viewing experiments, and then I'm going to be talking about the book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Communicating with Spirits. For some reason, the title just really struck a note for me. What about you there, Mike? Are you feeling complete tonight?
I are an idiot.
Well, I is too, so we ought to be able to relate to this book. Okay.
Do they have pictures?
Well, it has funny cartoons, so.
Oh, well, I'm in, man. That's perfect. I can learn off of that.
Okay.
You know, I used to use those little bubblegum wrappers and stuff and read those little, what is that, Bubblegum Joe wrappers or whatever it is. Bazooka Joe, that's it. Yeah, I used to read those all the time. So if it's anything like that, I'll be good.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to be talking about your remote viewing experiments this week. Is there anything that you'd like to just share with us in general in terms of how things went?
Well, this week what I changed was I actually varied the speeds at which I was doing the remote viewing session. I also made sure that I was relaxed before I started. First one I did was yesterday. The second one I did was today. And the third one was today. But what I did was vary the speeds at how fast I was dumping the information to paper to see if that changed the accuracy any. I had different things going on actually with the, each session. Like the first one, I was totally relaxed. I didn't feel any distractions. Whereas on the second one, which was like I did in 20 minutes, I mean, I literally was just dumping to the paper as quick as I could. And I actually got a wild adrenaline rush and goosebumps and everything on the deal at one point, which we'll talk about that here in a minute when we check the remote viewing out. But, and the third one, which was kind of odd, I slowed it down, and I felt distracted when I slowed it down. So evidently there's a balance there involved.
What do you mean that you felt distracted when you slowed it down?
I literally, when I was trying to do the remote viewing session, it was like something was trying to draw my attention away from it all the time. And it wasn't necessarily my own thoughts. It was just how it felt, you know. It was just like a constant mental. It was almost like I had a mental distraction going on, but I couldn't really put my finger on it. Maybe it was because I was thinking about slowing down, you know.
Okay.
So I'm not too sure. We'll see, though. We'll see what the results are. You know, I'm kind of interested. I'm wanting to see if it changed the accuracy rate and all that stuff, but. And like you said, there's an ebb and flow to anything having to do with psychic ability. You know, some weeks you're hot, and some weeks you can't see couldn't see it if it's in front of your face. So,
all right. So, when we were talking earlier, right before the show started, do you want to talk about any of your other experiences, like? Essentially, you accused me of trying to foul you up on this or trip you up. Why don't you tell us what your thoughts behind that? Because to even suggest that I would try and trip you up is just an amazing concept.
Well, okay, let me explain this. when I do remote viewing sessions, there are archetypes or just general shapes that I'm putting down on paper. And they don't necessarily mean anything, but they're general shapes like circles, angles, motion lines, stuff like this, right? Well, I noticed between the first and second sessions that the layout was almost identical as far as the circles, motions, everything else, but the content was different, okay? And what made me feel like that it just felt like they were similar in an artistic manner when you're just looking at basic shapes of a picture, you know?
Okay.
That's just the way it looked, you know?
So, okay.
But now, there again, the first and third session also had elements that were similar, but not quite similar. So,
which sessions now?
First and third had a couple elements that were similar, but not that many.
Okay.
So, let me go ahead and post this for everybody, so everybody can actually see. I've already got my remote viewing session posted, and here's the link. I went ahead and put in the chat room. For those of you just listening in, if you'll go to paranexus.org, and if you'll look on the left-hand side, down towards underneath the shout box and all that area, where it says last 10 posts, it's going to say Informal Paranormal. If you'll click on that, it's the first item on the list, on that thread. And this is what I came up with. Now, I don't know what exactly all this means yet, because I really haven't. I hadn't attempted that. There's one thing I'm going to do different this week. I'm not going to say what it is. I'm not going to try to analyze it, because I'm not to that part of the course where we really get into analysis yet. Now, if I were going to say what I think it is, I want to say that it feels like it's like I was telling you earlier, it felt like like people were having fun. It was something adventurous, maybe like riding in a hot air balloon around an airport with a bunch of other hot air balloons kind of deal. I'm not sure.
So, Mike, would you say this are you getting a sense that this would be something people were dying to do?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other thoughts about it overall?
No, not right offhand.
Okay.
Not right offhand.
All right. Well, here, let me go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and post the So while I'm doing this, Mike, why don't you have any other thoughts about this first one you want to share with us?
I'll tell you the thing about Saturday when I did this. I literally took the time out that day to take care of everything in my house, right?
Uh-huh.
I got every agenda out of my thoughts that I possibly have. There's another thing I do. I do computer programming, which is very analytical. I literally did not touch any of my software that day that would make my mind get into that mode. Okay, so, and I'd listen to music most of the day, try to keep my thoughts on an emotional level where I was happy, enjoying stuff, try to do things that I considered fun. And about an hour before I did the remote viewing session, I kind of just lightly meditated on it doesn't matter what the outcome is, kind of deal, and I just kind of relaxed my way into doing this one.
Okay, Mike, so your thought is that you were trying to intentionally shift from left side brain, which is the analytical part of our brain, to right side, which is the artistic, more free-floating, if you will.
Yeah. Wow, that's different. yeah, pretty much just emotional free-floating.
Okay, so.
Boy, that's a, if everybody will refresh your page, talk about night and day. Oh, my God. That's way off.
Well, people are dying to do it now.
No. Well, the problem I'm looking at here is, I mean, I've got the circles, but that's really, that's nowhere close.
Some of your descriptors, though, again, you know, some of them definitely apply to something like this, though.
Well, yeah, like cautious. I guess there's silver in there. I can't tell. It's a black and white picture. I would imagine that's silver.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, okay.
All right.
That's a negative. All right. Let's move on to the second one. That's funny. All right. This is 4356-7799. Now, this is the one that I did extremely fast. So, maybe this one will come out a little different. Okay, if everybody will refresh your page now. Oh, my gosh. All right. Did it come up?
It's working on it.
There it goes. Okay, second one down. Now, this is the one I did in 20 minutes. So, we'll see what happens. This is the one I actually had an emotional, or I should say a physiological response to right after I got through identifying all the different targets on the page and started actually doing the diagram of the site template itself. And for some reason, I don't know if anybody out there has experienced this, but I had goosebumps to the level where I could actually see my skin ripple. And I, that's just, I've never experienced it that hard of, you know, having goosebumps. I don't know what that means yet, but.
So, explain your diagram to us.
Okay, if you'll look, there's a large circle in there with an arrow, and that's the general motion of what those four box or those three boxes are doing. I think there's people in those boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you'll look, I've got actual arrows pointing to like the X. It says, you know, large circular metallic plastic red brown. And what this is doing is it's just describing that entire area. Then if you'll look right next to it, where there's arrow pointing to the B, which is one of those little cars in the middle or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
that's actually identifying that little box with the information. Then there's a partial square to the right of that that says A.
Uh-huh.
There's a person inside of it, which I'm not sure what all that's about. And, you know, if I'm just taking a wild guess, I'm going to say it's an amusement park ride.
And why would you say? Okay.
I mean, just a wild guess. Now, it could be machinery. It could be all kinds of things. It could even be a train. Who knows, you know. But I'm kind of curious to see what the picture comes out on this one since I did this so quickly.
Okay.
But, yeah, that was really interesting. I'm, you know, emotionally, I didn't experience anything different from the beginning to the end of this one, okay? But as far as a physiological response, that's the first time I've ever had that happen. I mean, I even got to the stage of looking around my room to see if I had a ghost in the room. Because my skin crawled so fast and hard on, you know, on this one.
Okay.
So.
Do you think that you might have been having, like, an emotional response because maybe, like, the picture reminded you of, like, let's say, an old girlfriend?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know where it came from. I just know that I got that response. I had a bad cold chill. It was almost like having an adrenaline rush without anything causing it.
Okay.
Okay? I don't know what that was about.
Okay. You like animals?
Yeah, I do like animals.
I mean, do you like animals a lot?
Not like that.
No. No, I was just curious how much you like animals. Okay. All right.
I'm a pet owner. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, I'm going to post this picture.
All right. Interesting. So, that's, like I said, I wasn't too sure what to make of it. I changed the speed at which I was doing it to see, like I said, see if it changed the accuracy so I could turn off that part of my brain that was analytical and see if that would change any of the outcome, you know. And this week I'm just testing to see if the time span that I'm doing these in change anything.
Okay. So you see the photo?
Not yet.
Okay, well.
Huh.
You know, I'm kind of concerned that you had an emotional response to this photo, but, you know.
Oh, that's funny. What is some? Is this like a camel ride?
I think this was at one of the local county fairs that were here some years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's curious.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well.
So.
That's pretty wild. No, I'm not that kind of lover. But
I mean, does it like remind you of an old girlfriend or?
She didn't have a perm, but
okay,
yeah,
okay.
So let me post the third one up here. That's interesting. That was a state fair that was at.
County fair. Yeah.
County fair. Okay.
Yep.
Well, maybe that was the reason I was picking up on the other stuff. That's a little significant, considering the location. Wrong target. Okay, I've got the last one posted. And on this one, if everybody refers to the page.
I'd just like to point out that when they did have camels at the county fair the last time I went,
mm-hmm.
They were doing rides, and they were going in a circle.
Really?
And the camel had, like, a platform on it, and... Mm-hmm. When they would do the ride, there was, I want to say, two or three riders on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's quite interesting, then.
So, I mean, you know, obviously it's not a mechanical ride, but it was going in a circle, and it did have multiple people. So, All right.
Cool. Okay. I've got the third one posted, if everybody will refresh your page. And this one, I don't know what to make of it. So, I mean, I've got one part I was picking up grassy, rolling hills, forestry smell, people. And in the middle, you see it says dark, smoky, wooden, small, enclosed, hot. And then on the right side, where it says wooden, old, short, useful, tubular, narrow, smelly, that could be a trash can. Who knows? You know? So... Anyway, so you got yours posted yet?
No, I was just looking at your coordinates. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and put mine up. So,
and this one was a 28-minute session.
Okay. So, tell me this. Go over those descriptors again.
Forestry smell, warm, outdoors, rolling, mounds. Grassy, sunny, people, free. Then I've got for the center of this picture is wavy, dark, smoky, wooden, small, enclosed, hot. And then on the right side I've got wooden, old, short, beautiful, tubular, narrow, and smelly.
Okay.
And looks like I've got a few people on the page. Maybe it's outdoors. So, was this one a little bit different?
I'm just making sure I'm putting up the right one here for you. Okay, here we go.
Spirit Communication for Idiots. I don't know that I would have chosen that title.
No, it's The Complete Idiot's Guide to Communicating with Spirits.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting.
Okay. So, this is a farm that's about 100 yards down the road from where I live.
Okay, if everybody will refresh your page, you can see the picture.
So, what's interesting is obviously your descriptors and stuff, and I was identifying the lake there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, your whole forestry smell, warm outdoors, grass. But these structures that you're identifying, if this was a panoramic photo, they would be to the right of the tree that's at the edge of the photo.
Oh, you're kidding me.
And one of the buildings is a long rectangular building.
Uh-huh.
That's, I believe, is a slaughterhouse.
That's smoky and it's wooden and it stays hot inside?
And smelly. Let's not forget smelly.
Well, that's curious.
And there's also on this farm, there's a smokehouse that's like next to that area as well.
Okay.
And this is a large farm. There's a lot of workers there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was getting people.
Well, I would say to the right of your photo, there would have been the structures and stuff, and there is usually a lot of activity because it's a working farm and stuff.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's pretty significant, except we didn't have it on the photo. Well,
no.
We did have part of it, the rolling hills and everything.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously the forest and, you know.
And the straight lines in there are trees, by the way, everybody. So, if you look at that, that's fun.
So, interesting. I mean, obviously with that one, there was a number of things that are, especially descriptor-wise, that would actually describe a working farmhouse or farmyard, you know. Pretty cool, Mike.
Wow. I mean, that, okay, well, this is interesting. So what do we, I mean, what would you say if I were going to say the time, if time made a difference here? I mean, if you noticed, the thing, I felt a little distracted on this one for some reason. I don't know why.
That's because you're probably focusing on the guy kissing the camel, but we won't get into that because I wouldn't want to embarrass you on the air.
Okay.
No, but, you know, it's that this one, clearly you have the most hits in terms of, especially from it, the descriptors that you used. You have the rolling hills in the background. And if you look at how you made your hill arcs,
yeah,
look at the hills that are on the other side of the lake. And then look at your arcs.
Oh, wow. Huh.
You know what I'm saying? It's like even the curves are right with that. The other thing is, one of the things that you have back behind the structure, you have something saying wavy.
Yeah. Maybe, well, that was the water.
I mean, you can see in the center of that lake, when you see distortion on a lake like that, I mean, frequently that's when there's like a breeze that's blowing across it.
Right.
And creating distortion. So, anyway.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, that was not a bad session. I think that scored above 50%.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, particularly that that last session, I'm very struck by the fact that if this was a panoramic photo, you know, to the right of it would have structures that and things that would be very similar to what you had there.
Well, you know, so. And that goes back into what I was talking about, you know, trying to figure out now how to do the zoom and understand where my target is. You know, it seems like I'm either zooming in too far or zooming out too far. You know, like a camera would. I'm panning either like I'm zooming out so I get the panoramic of it, or I'm zooming in too far and not getting enough information. If that makes any sense to you.
Yeah. No. You know, at this point, you know, you're learning, and you know, it's all just part of the process, I guess. So tell me, are you now going on to the next like step in terms of this training?
I can. I'm still not exactly comfortable, but I don't see that there wouldn't be any reason I couldn't. I mean, evidently, I'm hitting what I'm supposed to be hitting, but I'm not getting my targets down. That's the issue I'm having. I'm not actually identifying my target. And that's what I want to be able to achieve is, you know, start hitting the targets. And
okay.
I'd feel a lot more comfortable with that. Let me look at this picture just a second. Actually, that wavy area, if I go back and look at my paperwork just a second, I just want to make sure that I'm not telling everybody the wrong thing. We'll see what X was. X was the wavy line and the little square building. That's what I was identifying as X as the target. So that one was on, if we consider the wavy line as being the water. But that's really a stretch, you know. I don't know, that's just a stretch. But anyway.
Well, hey, listen. not only, yeah. Except look where the arrow is hitting in that lake. It's striking the area where there's the what I believe to be wind distortion on the lake.
Okay.
So you know the fact that you were picking up wavy now, you know the buildings. There's no buildings down
by the lake,
right?
You know, the buildings would be basically in front of this fence that's in the foreground and to the right.
Huh.
So.
Okay. I see what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's not a bad, I guess that's not a bad session, though, overall, because I'm just a beginner at this, so.
Well, I mean, since it's all part of a learning process, there are no bad sessions.
That's
you know?
It. That's it. But so. I did learn something here. It looks to be, like the first session, that was just, off in La La Land. So being too relaxed is a bad thing, evidently.
Well, again, you know, you don't know until you experiment with these, you know, different mindsets, if you will, you know?
Well, maybe that's what we ought to do next week is do this exact same thing again on the relaxed, accelerated, and then moderate speeds again and see if it has anything to do with what day of the week it is. Kind of deal. You know what I'm saying? You know, like we were talking about the ebb and flow of psychic ability, maybe I'm just not on my peak and I'm just getting into the peak or coming into the peak on like today just started, right? So if we got three new targets and I start doing them tomorrow, maybe I'll have a better success rate. Never know.
Okay. So you're thinking that there's like some like maybe biological rhythms that go on that maybe sometimes you're just simply at a from a just I don't know physical standpoint you're in a better place.
Maybe so. Maybe that's what it is—a physiological thing. I'm not sure what this. Why I got an adrenaline rush off this camel though? That's just really weird. I think I had a ghost in the room, dude. I don't think it has anything to do with kissing any camel.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of problematic there. I don't believe that.
Yeah, you know, you noticed, you know, Doug's not commenting on it. You know.
I noticed that.
Yeah. But, well, I'll tell you what, next week, I'll just tell you right now, I won't have any men kissing animals, so I don't throw you that way.
You don't throw me that way. Well, that's nice of you.
Okay. So we won't, like, overstimulate you with, like, photos like that or anything. So we'll be done with that. All right.
Yeah, Sharon's probably right. I was probably cringing about it. I know it was just kind of one of those it wasn't necessarily a bad, but it wasn't necessarily a good adrenaline rush I was getting either. It was just kind of an indifferent yuck.
Well, I mean, first of all, Have you ever been around a camel?
Yes, I have, actually. I used to do volunteer work at the zoo here locally, and the Explore Post worked with elephants and camels.
Okay, so why don't you share with everyone how badly they stink?
Let me put it this way. You'd much rather have about 50 cats in your house and not change the litter box. Camels are probably one of the worst-smelling animals I've ever smelled. It's mainly just the musk coming off of them. It's not even the feces. It's just the way they smell.
and the whole spitting thing?
Yeah, they spit, and they've got a big, long blue tongue, and when they spit, it's just the nastiest thing you've ever seen in your life. And I'm not sure what that keeper was doing getting close to its mouth, because they are extremely strong as far as biting. So.
Okay, so...
John.
Doug's insulting my wife now. I can't wait to tell her about this. I'll have her listen. No, actually, she can't listen.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
oh my. Yeah. Okay.
Well, let's get on to the book. I think the book would be kind of interesting since I are an idiot.
Yeah, I... Okay. I got this book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Communicating with Spirits, and you might ask why. And the reason is, I actually like this whole series of books because they give you this like huge, broad overview, and they cover so many different areas that if you tried to buy books in each of these areas, I mean, you'd spend a ton of money. And, you know, this book gives you the opportunity to like just, you know, get a taste of various concepts. So you can go like, oh, this works for me. Oh, no, this is absolutely insane. I don't want any part to this. So you don't go out and buy a $30 book. So I found it, you know, very interesting. There's clearly concepts in here and books that I wouldn't go out and buy just because I don't have a personal interest in that.
Mm-hmm.
But the book is, you know, broken up into where it's talking about the continuity of life and talking about, you know, preparing for the afterlife. There's a section that talks about spiritualism and the continuity of the spirit.
What do you mean by continuity?
Well, the fact that the spirit, once our bodies are no longer here,
mm-hmm.
our spirit continues in a different setting.
Oh, okay. So they're just talking about the energy moving on, your energy.
Yeah, in this particular chapter, they're referring to that consciousness as the spirit.
Okay.
There's a section that's like, you know, why do spirits make contact with people?
Yeah.
And then there's another section that deals what's on the other side. And, you know, they're talking about the concept, you know, everything from heaven, hell to, you know, multiple levels. And, you know, it looks at it basically a number of different concepts in terms of understanding what's on the other side.
Well, I've got a question for you. And I know you've done enough investigating and you've had enough experience probably to answer this. As far as why spirits contact us. Was what they were, what was in the book? Was it pretty much a complete list of everything you've experienced, or was it more than what you've experienced?
Well, actually, you know, in the book, I mean, they're talking about various types of spirit contact and whether it's like having a loved one make contact with you or, you know, you bump into an earthbound ghost, if you will, or an earthbound spirit, or whether it's someone like a spirit guide, or again, you know, maybe a relative coming back to help you learn or guide you on a certain lesson path.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that, you know, a lot of these things that was in this book were consistent with my experiences.
Right.
But not everything, because, you know, in the book, there was a lot of like, well, not a lot, but there was a number of things that I felt was just, I don't know. Well, you know what? They just didn't connect for me. So I'm not going to say that there was something wrong with it as a concept, because that wouldn't be the right thing to say at this point. What I'm going to say, though, is that certain concepts simply did not connect with me.
Okay.
It wasn't something that I could relate to. It wasn't something that was part of the belief system that I'm formulating in terms of, you know, the afterlife and interactions with spirits and things. So.
Oh, okay.
But it
does do a pretty good job as just, I wouldn't say generalizing, but they did cover pretty much what's experienced socially by a lot of people, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what's incredible about this book, is they basically covered, well, actually, I can't think of anything they didn't cover. And there were things in there that I'd never even thought about as a possibility, you know? So that's what's great about this book, is you can come in here and read one or two pages on literally hundreds of topics. So if something strikes a note for you, if something, you know, simply feels right, or it's something that you really can connect with, then go out, you know, buy a book or buy multiple books about that topic area and read about it in depth to get, you know, not just a superficial understanding, but, you know, an in-depth analysis of it.
So you can wrap your brain around it and really comprehend what you're trying to understand.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely. And the other thing, I find that, you know, a lot of times, depending on the author's perspective, they can be talking about the same thing, but they do it in a different way.
Yeah.
They end up getting to the same place, but it's like anything, you know, like when you go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
You can probably choose from multiple roads to get there. Some are more direct, some not so direct, some are faster and some are slower, but ultimately they'll get you there.
Okay.
And so, again, there's...
See, for me, for me and my belief systems, that's like being able to choose a timeline and knowing that that they're available. So, we had a question in the chat room from Shadows. John, do you believe a spirit has the ability to transgress time-space and space-time to see future events of the living?
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure that we understand time, and, you know, we view time as linear, and I'm not sure that that's how it is.
Right.
So, you know, it is possible that if all these things almost all exist at the same moment, if you will, then maybe it is possible for, once you've gone to an energy state, that you're not bound by something like time or linear time.
And that would make sense from a physics standpoint also.
Well, you know, here's the thing that somewhat supports spirits being able to perhaps travel to the future, and is because sometimes people, have reported that, you know, like a family member has come and warned them about a very specific event that was going to happen, you know. So, you know, like, for instance, you know, I've read things where specific to an event, like you're going to be driving in a car, someone's going to blow a stop sign, you're going to get hit, you know, your family's going to be hurt. I mean, very specific, not like some real, you know, general thing where it's like, well, you know, in the near future that you're going to be experiencing some danger or something like that. But some very specific facts are being, you know, relayed. So, you know, I don't know what to make of that, other than it seems like that spirit has had some glimpse of a possible future or a possible future timeline.
Right.
You know?
Right. We got another question for you. Do you think it, let's see, this is from Catherine. Do you think it is the consciousness that survives after death, or the subconsciousness? Well, that's a deep one, isn't it?
Wow. Never really thought of it that way. You know, I think it's all part of the same package. So, I think that, you know, who we are in terms of that cognitive part of our energy, that the subconscious and the conscious, it's all part of the same package, I would think.
Yeah, where one's outward, one's inward. You know.
And the thing is like our subconscious, you know, once we go to an energy state, you know, it may evolve to something different than how it works here for us.
Right.
You know, because our subconscious, you know, helps us cope with this world, this reality.
Yeah.
So it may evolve into something different. Or the other possibility is it totally gets integrated, because here our subconscious and our conscious mind, you know, really the closest that ever comes to meeting is in a dream state, if you think about it. I mean, that's not truly being integrated, but that's the closest thing to it.
Right. Well, you could actually say consciousness, in a sense, is the way that I guess our spirit would deal with the physical realm. It's kind of like the interface, in a sense, you know, for our higher selves to interact with the physical realm. Because if you didn't have consciousness, you couldn't interact with your environment.
Yeah.
You know, and the subconscious, I think, and this is for me, this is just theorizing. To me, the subconscious would be more on the higher self type deal. You know.
Well, you know, I suppose that's possible, because the subconscious, you know, is not restricted the way our conscious mind is. Mm-hmm. It's basically a free agent. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It can kind of go where it wants to go. It doesn't have to be embarrassed by it. You know, whereas, like, for instance, you know, when we process information, there are a number of things that inhibit that. In terms of, like, for instance, let's say, you know, you see someone trip and fall down, and, you know, you process that and say, oh, the person tripped and fall down. They don't look particularly hurt, so I'm going to go ahead and laugh because it's pretty funny.
Right.
Right? On the other hand, there's times when you'd see that and you'd decide, oh, no, it wouldn't be appropriate to laugh. So our conscious mind, you know, kind of acts like that in terms of, you know, deciding kind of like what's okay to think, or – you know, certain things we think, you know, causes us to feel guilty. Whereas I don't think our subconscious mind has those kind of things coming into play.
Right. Well, you know, the subconscious mind, I believe, is probably the best problem solver of everything. You know, it doesn't get hung up the same way the conscious mind does, even though you can scar your subconscious mind, you know, with bad life experiences. You know, I mean, that's a whole other realm right there. But,
well, Catherine's asking, or is stating that, you know, but if it were both, then the ghost could interact different based on choice, where subconscious would be repetition. You know, I'm not sure. You know, personally, I think that, you know, I kind of view it as everything would probably get more integrated. And maybe that's, you know, a lot of psychics and stuff will talk about levels of enlightenment, mm-hmm. and certain things. You know, possibly, maybe the ultimate level of enlightenment is the complete integration of your cognitive functioning.
Yeah, exactly. With the remote viewing, that's actually what they're trying to tap into, is the subconscious mind. But and the reason being is because the theory is the subconscious mind is actually literally connected to everything else in the universe, and you can literally go look at whatever you want to go look at with it, whereas the conscious mind is on a local level.
Yeah, I would say that, I mean, clearly one is like very grounded in terms of your reality.
Mm-hmm.
Another way to think of it is, if your reality is a box and you're sitting inside that box, your conscious mind interacts within the concept of that box, whatever that box is. Some people have a real huge box, other people have little boxes, but your subconscious mind isn't bound by the box.
That's right. That's correct.
So
that's the way I look at it too. I think we're essentially saying the same thing, just different words.
Shadows is saying, you know, basically that, you know, the subconscious mind can think outside the box, no rules, no limits. You know, I really think that's true, because I think that the the subconscious mind isn't bound by our, you know, our conditioning. Because, you know, we're all conditioned to think certain ways. You know, society conditions us to have certain belief systems.
And filters. You know, I think that's what blocks a lot of people's psychic abilities, just the filtering. I'm starting to learn that myself, actually, in a direct manner. So, but anyway, what was some of the other chapters in the book that you found interesting?
Well, I like the whole section on steering clear of fakes and frauds.
Oh, now that's...
No, and I really like that because you know what? I've run into a number of psychics over the years that, you know, I had immediate issues with. And then I've run into people who were saying they were psychics, and I knew it absolutely at the moment they were saying that it simply wasn't true. One of the things that they're talking about in terms of fakes and frauds,
mm-hmm.
The first one's the most benevolent, if you will. It's where a well-intentioned fake sincerely feels your pain and wants to make it go away. And so that person might enhance or outright pretend to make contact that you desire just so you'll end up feeling better at that moment. But the reality is, you know, if it ever comes out that that was faked, you're certainly not going to feel better in the long run. In fact, you probably feel betrayed and it would be much worse than having not had any type of contact to begin with.
Mm.
The other one that they talk about is the fraud whose only intention is to take your money. And they actually list a whole bunch of like red flags in terms of how these type of psychics would work. Now, some of them are absolute fakes. They're not psychics. They're fakes, okay?
Yeah.
And some of them are basically unethical psychics. Okay, so there's two types that you're looking out for, okay?
Yeah.
And so basically, they're saying your fraud warning alarm system should go off if the medium discusses money before asking you what you need.
Oh, wow.
Okay? And, you know, they're acknowledging that, you know, basically people have to make a living, and it's nothing wrong for a medium to charge for their services, but the client comes first. So if you're ever in a setting and it's not being approached that way, you know, that's a huge red flag. Anyone that requires your credit card information or cash payment before doing a reading is also something to be, you know,
wary of.
Cause you some concern because, you know, how many people get paid before they provide a service?
None that I know of that are professional.
Right. And they're saying, you know, it's not fair that if you don't like what the reading is, not to pay them because you didn't get what you wanted. Like you wanted to talk to a specific spirit and that didn't happen because there's no guarantees as far as that goes. But just in terms of soul wanting, you know, cash in advance, they're saying, you know, that's definitely not something you want to be going with. They said pretty much avoid like the plague the psychic hotlines because you have no ideas on the other side of that phone, you know.
Well, they got a cold reading script, I would imagine.
Well, that's our next thing. If the person asks a lot of personal questions before beginning your reading, those who are particularly adept at making these questions appear through its casual conversation. And what the medium is actually doing is fishing for details that will become part of your reading. And fishing is when the medium gives small bits of information and then asks questions to fill in the picture. It's generally the hallmark of someone who's best is inadequately trained and at worst is an outright fraud. Okay?
I mean, do you know any good examples of this? I mean, I wouldn't say necessarily point anybody out. But, I mean, has there been people on TV like that that you notice?
Well, let me not answer that, and let me answer something that speaks to that question, okay? Back when I was a vice cop years and years ago, I went to a training, and there was a investigator who was running the training, and he did a psychic reading. And he did it on a number of us officers, and it was absolutely amazing how accurate he was and how it seemed to be, like, totally tailored to the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And later he revealed that he is not psychic at any level and that he was doing essentially this fishing that they're talking about here, doing a cold reading, which was remarkably like what you see on John Edwards' show.
Really?
Yeah. You know, he would start out asking general questions like, you know, does anyone have a mother figure who's deceased? Well, you know, in a room where you have people that are in their 40s and 50s, there's a good bet that they may have a mother figure. And then a mother figure, you know, is kind of open to interpretation because that can be your mother, a mother-in-law, someone who mothered you, someone that, you know, was an older female that was, you know, that you had a close relationship to.
Right, any kind of matriarch. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, at least wide open. And then what would happen is, like in this reading where this vice cop was showing us how they do these cold readings, they look at people's body language, and when they see that they're hitting on, you know, something with the person, then they'll focus it in and just kind of tighten it up and stuff. So, interesting thing, you know. One of the things that they tell you to, again, that it's a sign of a fraud, is promises connections with a specific spirit or loved one. You know, you can't be promising because, you know, you have no control over that. Huh. You know, you can't guarantee that someone's going to come forth, and you can't guarantee that it's going to be the person you want to talk to. So if you're even saying that kind of stuff, you know, that's just, you know, highly suspect. Make specific predictions about your future. You know, that's one of the things that, you know, they have some concerns about, especially when it's all very general,
right,
and nothing is, like, specific. One of the things that they were saying is that an ethical medium will never tell you what to do. They will never tell you need to, like, sell your house and, you know, cash out your bank account and move to a commune in Utah. Okay?
So that's kind of goes along the lines of what your shaman friend was telling you about not affecting life paths.
Yeah, actually, that's, yeah, in a different way. I mean, he said it differently than how these two psychics said it, but basically, that would be the bottom line, is that, you know, you have to respect the journey that a person's taking, and you don't want to be interfering with it. Now, that's not to say that you can't help them learn their lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the concept of, like, spirit guides is that there's a spirit that has taken an interest in you, and they're there not to do things for you, okay? But they're there to help you and to help facilitate you learning your life's lessons, you learning the things that you need to learn and do the things that you need to do in order to successfully, essentially, go to the light and make that transition.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right.
That sounds good.
So the final area where they're talking about under frauds and stuff is a category they call desperate illusions. And what that is they're talking about it's possible for you yourself to be the fake, so to speak. Not that you're intentionally trying to delude yourself or others.
Right.
It's just that sometimes you can want to talk with a special person or hook up or, you know, have contact with someone so badly that you interpret everything that's going on naturally in your life as a sign of connection.
So in other words, don't facilitate your own delusion. Is what that's saying. Don't sit there and want something so bad that you're hearing whatever it takes to hear it.
Well, you know, I guess it's sometimes when someone really wants something really badly,
Yeah.
Then it's not that they're trying to be delusional, you know. It's that they, you know, they desperately are seeking something, and they're looking so hard, they start to see it everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so it'd be like, let's say, for instance, someone had a radio song or a song that they liked. So it pops up on the radio, okay?
Yeah.
Well, and they're saying, oh, see, that just proves, you know, so-and-so is trying to make contact with me. Well, you know, if this radio song or this song on the radio turns out to be something that was, you know, a number one hit, you know, obviously it's going to get played on the radio. Even if it's years on out, if it's a number one hit, whatever that oldie station is or the station that plays, you know, not the current hits, they're going to be playing it. Why? Because it was a number one hit. So, you know what I'm saying is they just look for everything to, you know, they'll go outside and they'll see some beautiful sunset and they'll decide that that was a gift from, a, you know, from someone. Or they'll see a butterfly and they'll say, oh, well, so-and-so really always enjoyed butterflies. That's a sign that he's still here with me.
Yeah.
Well, it could also just be a butterfly.
That's true.
So.
Well, we got about 3 minutes left. John, is there any upcoming events or anything that you know of that are really cool to go see?
Oh, you're going to let me plug my event.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this coming week on Saturday night, I'm going to be at Historic Jordan Springs for a paranormal dinner and investigation. And if you want more information about it, you can go to historicjordansprings.com and click on the events calendar, and you'll see the write-up for it.
Oh, cool.
Let's talk about what's going to be on
excuse me,
Paranexus Universe Radio this week. Okay, it's going to be hosted by psychic medium and Paranexus board member Gregory Kent. And he's going to be interviewing Jamie Best, the reluctant medium. Jamie's colleague, who's a producer-director, Chris McGill, is also going to be joining the show. And this will be Thursday, August 19th at 9 p.m.
Oh, that'll be a good show, man. I like Gregory. He's a good demonologist, isn't he?
Now, don't be saying that, because Gregory isn't a demonologist. He just has a twisted sense of humor. There is a difference.
Oh, okay.
So.
As long as, he's wearing his Paranexus acoustic,
I'm good. Yeah. You don't want to be giving people nightmares. You can't be talking stuff like that late at night.
Oh, that's true.
Okay. So,
we will be back next week, I guess. Sunday night at 10 o'clock, right?
Yeah, Sunday night, August 22nd, 10 p.m., Informal Paranormal. And I guess we'll be doing a little bit more remote viewing. And we'll be talking about something interesting. I want to thank all the guests tonight. Now, there was a lot of interesting comments in the chat room.
Yeah, there was a lot of good questions posted there. I really appreciate everybody interacting. You know, that's what this show is really about, is getting everybody to, you know, chime in. And, you know, you guys can call in anytime you want. You know, this is just informal. Anybody, anything you want to talk about, and it doesn't have to be what we're talking about necessarily. So.
Yeah, and I'm only rude to Doug and Mike, so if you do call in, I'll be very polite and nice, so you don't have to worry about that. All right, folks. Well, you all have a good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight. And let's hear some music, Mike.
All right, guys. So you everybody have a good weekend. Well, good Sunday night, and we'll see you next Sunday. Have a good night.